This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
John Whitehead is the CEO and the co-founder of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. He joins me live in studio. How are you, sir? Good afternoon.
Just fine. How are you doing?
I'm good. You were telling me your summer class of interns have gone back to school?
Yeah, we had over 30, and they did all kinds of projects, basically related to constitutional issues, and from all over the country, UVA, Dartmouth, places like that.
I know some of them worked on a white paper about red light traffic cameras, which I shared with the listeners of this program.
Yes,
it was some of the best research I've ever seen about
some
that.
Some worked on what we call the Resistance Project. They looked at Martin Luther King and the great resistors like Gandhi to see how you can change society when government doesn't listen. And that was one of the projects that the students got very enthusiastic about, because they learned about some of these great people who have given their careers and lives to make society better, civil disobedience and those kind of things.
Yeah.
So I think I saw some students' lives changed during the summer, which is a neat thing.
Yeah, I don't doubt it, working with you. John Whitehead is live in studio. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. John, you sent out a press release warning Congressman Tom Perriello that his ban on political signs at his town hall meetings was, quote, an act of outright censorship that raises grave constitutional concerns. A few days later, the congressman's office lifted that ban and said that signs would be allowed. We would just ask, I think I'm paraphrasing, but they said something, we would just ask that people be considerate of don't create a carnival atmosphere and be considerate of the folks who came there to listen and to ask questions. When did this first cross your desk? And give us the backstory.
Several days ago, we were contacted by some people who said they wanted to go into meetings with signs. They were prohibited. We sent a letter to Congressman Perriello yesterday stating that it was a violation of the First Amendment's right to freedom of expression. Later in the afternoon, after receiving the letter, he rescinded the ban. And they weren't really happy about getting called on the carpet, but, you know, it's... I mean, I work in the area of free speech. In fact, I brought some of my books, Do You Know the Bill of Rights, along if you want to give them to your listeners. 10 copies.
977-1070 if you want this little pamphlet.
Free.
It's free, and it's yours. If you want it, just call in and give Bailey your name, and we will set one aside here for you. It's compliments of the Rutherford Institute. It's a friendly guide to the U.S. Bill of Rights. What was your main concern? Well, first, let me tell you, I guess you're so familiar with these kind of issues, you could sort of see where, and I don't want to speak for you, but I'm assuming you could see where the congressman was coming from in the first place when he was trying to have a Q&A with audience members. And from his perspective, I don't want to speak for him, but I gather from his perspective or that of his office, there were people there with anti-Perriello signs who were trying to make a big political statement rather and disrupting the Q&A.
Yeah, as I understood it, most of the people either held them in their laps or put them against their legs on the floor. So
disrupting might be too strong of a word.
I don't think disrupting was actually happening. From what we learned, and of course, that's why the police are there, the uniformed police are there. If someone disrupts a meeting, they can be told to sit down. If they don't sit down or disrupt a meeting, they can be taken out of the room. So that's what the police are there for. It's not the congressman, who's a public official meeting in public buildings, paid for with taxpayers' fund, meeting with the public on issues of public concern. I keep saying the word public because it's a traditional public forum, which is protected by the First Amendment, and signs are permitted. We've won a number of cases on this issue over the years, some signs in stadiums and those kind of things. The Supreme Court's ruled you cannot ban all signs in public meetings. So you can have rules and regulations, of course. But again, I would say that I think the main problem I see with public officials, and all the studies show this, most public officials don't know what's in the Bill of Rights. And I guarantee you, I can call most people in Congress today and they can't tell me what's in the First Amendment, the five freedoms in the First Amendment. Most lawyers can't tell me that. So we live in an era of civic ignorance. We don't know what our rights are. This kind of action is a mistake. They saw it was a mistake. But it takes speaking truth to power. It takes a strong legal letter to say, hey, correct this. And we, at the end of our letter, we had a client who wanted to file a lawsuit, which would correct the issue. But I think the congressman did the right thing and got out of the issue. I think for two reasons. One, it was clearly unconstitutional, and two, the bad PR from it. Well, this press release went out across the country with the letter, and I've got people all across the country going, way to go. We're seeing this happen in our towns and stuff, and we don't like it.
Yeah, and it's not a left-right Republican or Democrat issue.
Really.
Both sides have done this kind of thing.
The thing you have to understand that if you hold true to a sign ban, you can't bring a flag into a meeting. A flag is a sign. I mean, you can ban everything. You know, you can't bring it. I'm sure there are pro-Perry Yellow people there. Go Tom, you know. I think what we see is government officials want to control these things. And I think that's not what they should be doing. They should be debating with the public, discussing. But I don't like the disruptive meetings. I think, again, that's why you have policemen there. Policemen should correct that and tell people to sit down.
We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Barbara is with us. Barbara, you're on with John Whitehead. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I want to congratulate him on his great Tea Party victory. But I have the gut feeling that the people in the 5th District just don't want to be hurt by not reelecting the splendid Tom Peel. And also, since you are such an advocate of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment, I wonder if I could have your thoughts on the mosque. Is that an issue of religious freedom? And also, I wonder whether you attempted to defend, if she should call you, Dr. Laura, because that's an issue of free speech, isn't it? And hey, Coy, you are the light in the darkness.
There you go. Thank you, Barbara. Appreciate it. Absolutely. Thank you, Barbara. And I believe John was having a little trouble hearing that with the, I'm not quite sure if these headphones are working in here.
I think I got the gist of it.
She said congratulations on the Tea Party victory. She also wanted to get your thoughts about the mosque.
I don't see the Tea Party victory. It's a victory for free speech. So.
Yeah, well, explain that too, because I got a letter from I got an email from somebody else saying, referring to the same thing. Well, this is a victory for the Tea Party and that John Whitehead is, a political hack for the Tea Party folks, and respond to that.
I've never been to a Tea Party meeting, and I don't support any parties. So,
what about the mosque? The issue of the mosque being First Amendment free speech,
it's a freedom of religion issue. I think the president was correct. So, I don't. I think what I see in America is just a lack of tolerance, and that's another thing. If you come out for free speech for somebody on one side, people automatically say, well, you're a hack for them. But, you know, if a lawyer defends a murderer, is he a murderer? See, it doesn't make any sense. I'm a lawyer. I'm a civil liberties lawyer. I've defended white separatists, black separatists. I've defended Muslims, Christians, Hindus. I've defended Fred Phelps, who's the guy that pickets out in front of funerals saying that God hates fags. I disagree with him very strongly, but The problem I see in America is that we've already lost the Fourth Amendment. We can talk about that on a later show. The Fourth Amendment's basically being lost by the technology that the police have and the federal agents have. They just bypass the Fourth Amendment and listen on your phone calls, sweep the internet. The First Amendment's on life support. We can save the First Amendment, but we have to work together. We have to have tolerance. And I don't think we should be limiting where people can build churches, where they could build mosques, where they could build synagogues. That's up to the right of the, it's a private property. They have a right to be there. I mean, you can disagree with that, but banning it. I think what I see happening, and again, the students this summer really learned that, is that the extreme left and the extreme right are meeting now. It's a very dangerous place for a meeting. They're basically saying we don't want those on the right or the left. I mean, they disagree with each other. They don't want free speech. See, I'm somewhere in the middle saying I want free speech for everybody, even though it's awful, despicable. Awful, hateful.
Makes whatever. You uncomfortable.
Yeah. Uncomfortable, yeah. But see, that's James Madison, who wrote, the fellow who lived right up the road here at Montpelier, who wrote the First Amendment, said the First Amendment was written to protect the minority against the majority. And he wasn't talking about racial minorities. He was talking about extremists. That's what it's there for. It didn't protect generally John Whitehead
of Coy. The minority of opinion.
Yeah, we don't go out and picket funerals and say that God hates bags. We don't do that kind of thing because we don't agree with that. I mean, we don't have extreme forms of speech. But again, the people that have inspired me over the years, like the great civil libertarian Nat Hithoff, a Jewish atheist, a good friend of mine, and we talk about these issues, and he thinks the First Amendment's dead in the water almost. I don't. I think we can save it, but It's going to stop all this name-calling, labeling people because you come out for somebody's rights. I mean, John Whitehead is somebody that has not voted in 30 years. I'm not political. I don't like politics. I don't support politicians. I either sue them or threaten them occasionally, but that's my job as a civil libertarian. I'm right in the middle. I don't go to any kind of party meetings. I don't like political parties, to be honest with you.
We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Gary's in Charlottesville waiting patiently. Gary, you're on the program. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Carefoot. Mr. Whitehead, I want to first thank you for watching my back, sir. Things I don't have time to do. I have a question I want to ask you. If you can comment on it, then I'll hang up and listen. I am concerned about the group over in Missouri. I think they're called the West Baptist.
Westboro Baptist Church. They're in Kansas.
Yes. Now, what do you, you know, the thing of it is, I think they go too far, but yet it seems like to me they have a legal right to do this, and I just don't think, I just think they're stretching, they're stepping across the line, and just wonder if there's, can they be stopped, or do you think they should be stopped?
Is this the guy you were just talking about,
yeah,
John?
Yeah, Fred Phelps, Westboro Baptist Church. No, they're very extreme, obviously. Their case is going to be heard by the Supreme Court. It's a very important case, and the thing that most scholars are kind of scratching their head over is the fact that the court decided to hear the case. It was ruled that they have a free speech right to be out in front of these funerals saying these awful, despicable things. And the question is, why didn't the court just let that die? But it looks like the court could reverse on that, and it'd be another hole in the First Amendment, and that's what I'm greatly concerned about. No, I think that...
So the latest court ruling says that they have the right to stand out there.
They have a right to be out there, yeah.
The Supreme Court has agreed to hear this case.
Yes, and could reverse it, and we don't know why. So that's got a lot of people, civil libertarians, concerned about another hole being drilled through the First Amendment. I think where we're at today, unfortunately... we're going to have to defend the so-called extremists as long as they don't advocate violence or move in that direction. Sure, that's where it stops. There's the limit, but they have a right to free speech. Again, I go back to what Madison said. The First Amendment's there to protect the minority against the majority. That's the extremist. And if we don't protect their rights, then sooner or later, do I think it will have a domino effect? Yeah. I mean, political correctness already... it's taken over universities and schools, and we have zero tolerance policies in schools where kids can't say anything. They shut down the newspaper here at the university,
at the Alamo High School,
because it criticized PE class. You got to be kidding me. An outrageous case of censorship. We just can't allow that to happen in this country. So if you really believe, and again, that's the question, do you really believe in free speech? It's the word free is really important. Free speech, sure. If you believe in free speech, then you have to get out there and defend that extremist. Even people you don't like or you may think are the most despicable human beings.
And
on
that's
the face of
the earth. Really the key. I mean, the conservative Tea Party advocate has to not agree with, but has to endorse the free speech of the radical liberal with whom they disagree, and vice versa.
We need to be pulled. That's where the American people have to pull together, and that's protect our right to express ourselves. Because once, like I say, the Fourth Amendment is really, really in trouble. The First Amendment is the other key amendment in there, and that important Bill of Rights. And that's why I have brought the pamphlet tonight. Do you know the Bill of Rights? And Coy's going to give these out free to callers. Read this. I've spoken to lawyers' groups just recently, some of the best lawyers in the country, and I actually have embarrassed them. I stopped in the middle of my speech and said, can any lawyer in this room tell me the five freedoms in the First Amendment? This is 150 lawyers who defend constitutional issues. Not one could tell me the five freedoms in the First Amendment. Not one. That's shameful. So that's where we're at, folks. So going around labeling people and all that because you'd happen to defend somebody that, I mean, I don't agree with virtually any political party most of the time. I just don't get into those kind of things. I don't like all the shouting back and forth in politics. I think it's destructive.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I was talking with Liz Chatterton, a national political consultant, yesterday. I'm so struck by the fact that what we're hearing from the activist folks on the right is almost verbatim the arguments and the talking points that we heard from the activist folks on the left under President Bush. This leader is bad for America. They're endangering the lives of Americans. They're making us bankrupt. They're shredding the Constitution. They're, making America less safe. I mean, it's the same talking points from like 5-6 years ago. the exact same list.
Exact same.
It's just
point.
It's just completely political. Flipped.
Yeah, and that's why I think we have to really stay attuned as. What I think the Washington elite, and there is a Washington elite that moves forward with an agenda, and the agenda is control. All you have to do is scan the internet and read a few articles to get that point. They want us out there arguing. While we're arguing and screaming over right and left wing issues, the agenda moves forward. That's the game.
And it doesn't matter Republican or Democrat who's in office. They're still in power.
That's why this mosque issue, I'm perusing the stations in the morning. That's all they're talking about. I said, why is that a national issue? What else is going on? You got the wars in Afghanistan. More soldiers have killed themselves in Afghanistan in the last few months than died by actual gunfire. There's a lot of bad things going on in the world.
Yeah.
The
billions unaccounted for in Iraq.
The
public money.
The flooding in Pakistan, the devastation around the world. And we're talking about a mosque that may be built two blocks away from ground zero. But see, that's the game. While we're all talking about that, what else is going on, folks? Why aren't we getting the news?
We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. Join the conversation, won't you? 977-1070. Chad is with us in Waynesboro. Chad, go right ahead.
Yeah, the same issue of the funeral protest. I had a buddy I worked that sent a email to Cuccinelli's office. Wanted to know why he didn't get on the letter with the rest of the government officials around the country protesting that decision by the court. And he got an email back saying that Cuccinelli didn't protest it because Virginia actually has some laws in the book dealing with protesting and functions at funerals, and he didn't want to pile on anything more, and he thought that Virginia's laws were sufficient that we had. And I'd just like to hear any comments to that.
Ted, thanks.
I think he's talking about Fred Phelps, Westboro Baptist Church.
Right, and the fact that Cuccinelli didn't go on record objecting to the decision.
42 states have laws against Fred Phelps and picketing at funerals, and that's the Missouri case. Federal District Court a couple of days ruled that unconstitutional, and that's moving up through the court. So that's a good sign, in my opinion. And again, listen, when people at the funerals, they should be private and they should not be interfered with. And the facts of the case before the Supreme Court, so that you know, they left before the funeral began. They were picketing 1,500 feet away, and they didn't name the soldier. It's just their general harangue against gays, and that's what these people do for their so-called ministry. That's they have nothing, in my opinion, to do with Christianity whatsoever, because you read about Jesus, the Beatitudes, he's talking about loving people and treating people equally, and it just makes no sense. But again, they test the limits of free speech. They really do, and that's why the case is so darn important.
We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. John, you authored a recent commentary published in newspapers around the country asking Obama and war, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do?
Yeah, I'd be honest with you. I looked at, you know, Obama, again, we had talked earlier before the show, 1 in 5 Americans think that Obama is a Muslim.
Yeah, published in the Washington Post today, 20% of Americans believe the president is actually a Muslim. Wrongly believe.
Well, very clear, 2008 interview with Christianity Today, he says, I am a Christian. I am a devout Christian. I believe in the redemptive death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He goes on and on and on, gives a very strong Christian affirmation of his beliefs. So I don't, you know, again, whether he's a liar or what, I don't think so. But, what would Jesus do? Again, as I argue in my commentary, and you can read it, go to Rutherford.org and read it. Yeah, I don't think Jesus would conduct the war the way the president's doing. No. And, you know, the president has a real problem with the what's happening in the war. You know, Seymour Hersh, the great Pulitzer Prize winning journalist, said this about Obama. He says, at this point, President Obama's in real trouble because the military are dominating him on the important issues of the world, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and he's following the policies of Bush and Cheney almost to a fare thee well, which is absolutely true. He's actually expanded the wars, which one reason I liked Obama, I thought he was going to delimit some of that. So what would Jesus do? If you read the Bible very clearly, the New Testament, Jesus wouldn't have condoned violence in any way. So that's the answer is pretty clear.
The answer is clear that any country that goes to war, certainly a preemptive war, is certainly not following the message of Jesus Christ.
No, they're not. I think, you know, defensive war is something else, but invading other countries, doing what we're doing, there's one contractor per American soldier, the fraud and the corruption is awful. Just have to study it, people. It's out there. I mean, and the CIA just hired Blackwater to work for them, and how many people know about the infamous Blackwater killings and the corruption going on with those kind of organizations. So there's a lot going on over there that we just don't know about, and it takes some study. Once you study it, it does raise some really serious concerns.
Yeah. And again, it gets back to the point I was making earlier. It seems to be that the right is doing what the left was doing.
Same thing.
They just switched. It's so frustrating to me because it seems like, as you were pointing out, you're not having the real conversation.
What they're doing, they're politicizing human issues. People are dying. Women and children are dying in these countries. American soldiers are dying. American soldiers are killing themselves at a very high suicide rate. These are real important issues. We should be focusing on the people concerns. And that's the great Martin Luther King statement he made shortly before he died, and when he gave that great speech at Riverside Baptist Church. He said, we need to become a people-oriented society, not a thing-oriented society, or the racism, materialism are going to run over us and destroy us. And we didn't listen to Martin Luther King then, and we're not listening to him now.
John Whitehead is the CEO and the co-founder of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. It's a fantastic website. Check it out. Lots of online video, podcast, essays to read. John, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.